Which world did God so love? When we consider the volume of scriptures which have been presented in the two lessons detailing the exclusiveness of Israel, if we had no mindset or preconditioning, we would have to agree to at least the following. Those scriptures are all consistent statements of fact, not inferences. They are related to Israel alone as a race, no other race being included. Israel alone is God's inheritance. There is no conflict about redemption applying to Israel alone. The covenants and promises referred to were made with Israel only. That Israel is a holy, that is, set apart race, what is commonly called the chosen race. That the statutes, the Hebrew word chog, and the judgments, mishpat, were given to Israel alone as a servant nation. This is vital to comprehend and remember in the lesson to follow. That the word Jews is not mentioned in any of these scriptures. That there are different seeds and that Abraham's seed is genetic. That none of these scriptures can be spiritualized. If we come to the conclusion that there is a unique racial Israel, we will be in conflict with the following church viewpoints. What is inferred directly from verses used by universalists, what we think we see manifest in terms of Christian experience in other races. Universalists may use what appear to be direct statements, but they rely on certain words that have been given new meanings. Sometimes completely wrong and deceptive meanings have been placed on words, and some of these have become accepted modern teachings. To these manufactured word meanings, types are added to fit the interpretation. This is the common way of teaching, but it is not teaching that is based upon the foundation of the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Over the years, accumulated errors in translations have led us away from the meanings contained in the original text. It's very important that we use the original text. One consequence has been that the commentaries and reference dictionaries often perpetuate and magnify the problems by using statements such as, "This has come to mean," and then applying their own interpretations based upon such new meanings. Apart from errors in pure translation, there are errors due to words being added in English that are not supported by the original text. Also, there are words deleted from the English text that are supported in the original text. An example of this is the frequent omission of the definite article from the English translations, where this is included in the Greek and vice versa. This lesson provides several typical examples of these deviations. So we're going to look at word meanings. In the New Testament, there is a call to separation, which few will deny. In today's preaching, this is presented primarily as a separation from uncleanness and sin. This is not an incorrect presentation in itself, but it is only a half-truth. 2 Corinthians 6:16-17 says, "I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We know that's speaking of Israel because it's a quote from the Old Testament. Then he goes on to say, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The addition of thing, akatheretu, genitive singular neuter, at the end of this verse is grammatically justified, but preachers use it in the sense of things rather than people. When we look at this verse, it is obvious that them signify the separation of one people, not thing, from another people. The word used in Greek is aphrasio. This means to border of, to limit of, to separate and to sever from the rest. In the next verse below, we see how this word is used. It is used of the separation of goats from amongst Israelite sheep. Note, nations is a neuter noun, whereas them is masculine and thus refers to people within the nations, Matthew 25:32. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." This specifically mentions nations. Any such suggestion of election or national separation horrifies some Christians because of the conflict between this and their understanding of God so loved the world and similar scriptures. So it might be well to immediately look at these verses and see what the world means. We have that verse which says, "Go into all the world." John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." These are two much quoted verses. In each case, the world is the same word, cosmos, in the original Greek. Cosmos is probably one of the least understood and misused words in the New Testament, and perhaps we should take a shortcut and make statements about cosmos, which is usually translated as world. Cosmos does not mean every race or the inhabited earth. That word is okeomene. Nor does it mean the landmass of the earth or its soil. That word is ge or gehe. Cosmos has the prime meaning of order, arrangement, or beauty, but never the common multiracial meaning as taught in most churches. Cosmos often means that particular world which is being spoken about to the exclusion of all other worlds. In English, we speak of the world of music or the world of sports. In Greek, we would say the cosmos of music or the cosmos of sports. Cosmos can mean the whole world of wicked and reprobate men as opposed to the world of God's elect. Cosmos is used of the Roman Empire in John 8:23. Cosmos is used of the world that was before the flood in 2 Peter 2:15. And it's also used in Hebrews 11:7, that world was destroyed. Cosmos is spoken of not only as the world that now is, but also of that which is to come. So when we say preach into the old world, the whole world, does that mean we are to preach to the world that comes? I doubt it. Cosmos can refer to things other than people. For example, the adornment of a woman's hair, see 1 Timothy 2:9, where cosmos is translated as modest. It is particularly difficult to proclaim the gospel to a woman's hair clip. Cosmos is used of many other things, and these can include either order or disorder, fame and honor, the orderly universe, the stars in the universe, and even heaven. So which world of all these worlds did God so love? From the scriptures we can see that there are different kinds of worlds. Think about this and how this relates to what has been shown as written in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. In the Old Testament we are told that God loved Israel. There does not seem to be a single direct reference to God loving any other race. Let us consider the Israel order whom God says he loved in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 7:8. "But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he sware unto your fathers," that is, of Israel. Psalm 47:4, "the excellency of Jacob whom he loved." Isaiah 63:7-9, "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, in his love and in his piety and pity he redeemed them." Hosea 3:1, "according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel." Hosea 11:1-4, "when Israel was a child, then I loved him. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love." Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee," that is Israel, "is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love." Malachi 1:2, "yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau." In the Old Testament we have these expressions of the Israel people that God so loved. Cast your mind back to all the scriptures in the New Testament we have looked at, which show the exclusive nature of Israel. Both tell of the love of God for Israel in a way which separates them from the other races. Are we now to believe that this people Israel have somehow disappeared, despite the prophecy to the contrary? If God said that he hated Esau, then Esau could not be included in the all or of the world. Of "go ye into all the world," and "God so loved the world." Esau could not be included in that. Just in case anyone still has reservations about the world having different meanings, we will look at pairs of verses, each of which contain the words "the world." In the first pair, Set, John 7:7 says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth." And in 1 John 3:13, it says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." If both of these two worlds were the same, then the disciples could not be hated by a world that was not able to hate them. Both worlds are cosmos. The second pair is John 17:6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." John 17:14, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." In one verse, they are out of the world, and in the second, they are not of the world. Pair number three, in John 17:9, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." John 3:16, "God so loved the world." Might it not be blasphemy to suggest that Jesus would not pray for that world he loved? So he must pray for one world and not for another. Here are demonstrated three pairs of scriptures which show contrasts in the worlds they are talking about.